Hello and welcome to The Specialist. I'm your host, Rob Barnard, and in this episode I'll be talking with someone who, being totally honest, and of course in the nicest possible way, I just couldn't ignore any longer. Every time a new episode of The Specialist would drop, he'd pop on my socials and say, "Great podcast, Rob, but when are you going to talk about second charges?" And you know what? You've got a great point. So I'm delighted to say that that time has come, and who better to discuss the second charge market with than leading second charge proponent, co-founder of the Loans Warehouse, Mr. Matt Tristram. Matt's had a long and successful career right at the top of the second charge market, and so I couldn't think of anyone better placed to discuss the current shape, challenges, and of course opportunities of that market with than him. I'm really looking forward to going back to basics, looking at why brokers should use seconds, especially in this challenging financial times we're facing, and also to busting some of the myths that exist around this sector of the market. The second charge market is currently going from strength to strength, and so hopefully over the next 20 to 25 minutes, we'll give you a little flavour of the benefits of this underused solution. And you never know, we might leave you wanting to find out just that little bit more. Matt, joking aside, I'm absolutely delighted at last to have you on air with me today.
Delighted to be here, Rob.
So come on, kick us off. And before we get right under the bonnet of the second charge sector, bring your career to life for me a little, if you would. Where did it all start? And how did you become the multi-award winning leading second charge industry figure that you are today?
I think
that's bigging it up, isn't it?
Yeah, that it is bigging it up. I'm blushing. I'd have to say hard work. I rarely find myself the smartest person in the room, but I've always tried to work harder than anyone else. And over the years, that has then become, I'm the most determined person in the room. I started work as a humble postie.
Wow.
In the mail centre in Watford that employed over 1,000 people.
And was that literally out delivering?
Yep. Well, I did a little bit of delivery, mainly in the mail centre. It was cold.
Shorts all year round?
Shorts, all year. Dungarees, actually.
Oh, crikey. No,
if I remember correctly.
That's for a different podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. A very union-led industry.
Yep.
Very job and finish environment. Get it done, go home. And it taught me a lot about people. It taught me a lot about geography, but I've forgotten all of that because I can literally get lost anywhere, genuinely.
Me too.
I then started working for my dad. I was at the post office for about 5 years. And then when I started working for my dad, selling exhibition stands.
Okay.
It's a business he'd done for years, but he taught me how to sell. Probably one of the few things, positive things I can say I can learn from my dad. I then set up my own exhibition stand business, and going by my previous comment, I'll leave it to your imagination of how that decision was received. But it taught me how to set up a business. And in 2000, I accepted a job at a company called Priority One that later that year became loans.co.uk.
Okay.
And I remember being told then how the internet was the future and how people would find you because they'll type in loans.co.uk.
Like it.
It's before Google and things like that. And that's how I started to learn about secured loans. I worked my way up through the ranks. I started as an underwriter. Underwriter stroke packager in those days. I became an advisor, although it was a seller in those days because it wasn't a qualified role. Became a team leader. I got my own department. I then became the manager of that department because it was originally just me. And then I went on at one point or another over 5 years to run every department operationally within the company until loans.co.uk was bought by MBNA in 2005.
Yeah.
I got itchy feet. I did not like
corporate life.
Nope, didn't. It was not for me. It was no fun. So within a year of MBNA having purchased loans.co.uk, on the 6th of April 2006, Sam and I, my business partner, incorporated Loans Warehouse. We based ourselves at his parents' house in what used to be his bedroom. Our first employee joined us in November 2006. We rented our first office in February 2007. And everything was rosy. And the rest is history. The credit crunch had begun and the seconds market completely crumbled. Lenders were withdrawing from the market on a daily basis, never to return. We learned a lot in that time. We were new to it. The big positive Sam and I always take away from that now is going into the credit crunch, we were one of 1,000 second charge brokers.
Yep.
Coming out of it, we were one of 20.
Wow. Crikey. So again, I always look at the first charge market, which is obviously something that I know a little bit more about. And that was like 30,000 mortgage brokers, I think, pre-crunch, and coming out of it, it was 10. So it's even more severe in the second market.
Our market disappeared. I think it was like something like 400 million at one point, and I think it got as low as 23 million.
In the year, like an aggregate.
In the year. It just died. But, you know, that was that sort of made us. Someone once said to us that we just must have made more good decisions than bad. Blind luck, maybe. But ever since then, we learned a lot and things are always changing, but we have always tried to put ourselves at the forefront of the second charge market. No matter what other products we offer, from bridging and development and personal loans, we've always kept second charges at the heart of everything we do. And we sit there now, we're based in a single office, we have no remote workers, we've got about 45 staff, we've got a great process. We work, as I mentioned before, we do second charges, we do bridging, we do development finance, we do personal loans, but by far the biggest part of it is second charges.
That's your bread and butter.
Absolutely.
Stick to the knitting. I mean, you know, so many similarities there between you and I, even though I've never worked for myself, I've always worked in corporate life. I'm not the coldest can in the fridge. I'm not. You have to work hard to get to where you are. Money, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And you came out of the credit crunch in a much better role.
Yes.
and able to take advantage of the opportunities that were more. Took a bit of time, but there were more. But I often think that we must have been bad in a previous life. Because if you think about it, we've not only just had the sort of credit crunch of 2008, 2009, we've had so many other sort of things that have tried to knock us off the straight and narrow. We've had sort of Brexit, we've had COVID. The first charge market certainly was thrown into turmoil by the statement to Parliament in sort of back end of September 2022. And all of a sudden you thought, here we go again. Just when you've got some momentum again, was the second charge affected in exactly the same way as we were in first?
It's never exactly the same, but it's like the saying, if America sneezes, the UK catches
Absolutely.
A cold. Well, for us, if the first charge market sneezes, second charge catches a cold.
Yep.
And what happened in 2022 was full-blown man flu. I'm not kidding when I say loan. Thank you. Loans Warehouse enjoyed its two most successful months in our 18-year history in the lead-up to that mini-budget. And in the months that followed, the second charge market dropped drastically. The market peaked at 160 million a month in 2022. It dropped to 100 million by December. So in 4 months, it lost well over a third. Several lenders paused lending, and some even paused without any sort of pipeline. I can honestly say if lenders like Pepper, Equifinance and Tandem hadn't taken the decision to back the market, honour the rates on their pipeline, there might not be a second charge industry as we know it today now.
It's something we felt really passionate about, because at the end of the day, you want to be there to take advantage of when the market upticks again, and you don't want to leave a bad taste in brokers' mouths that we've done something that wasn't right. So that's good to hear that was recognised.
Everybody that knows anything about the industry recognises that. That said, it wasn't like the credit crunch. It wasn't like the pandemic. Lenders had funds in the bank. There was no liquidity issue.
Nope, absolutely not.
It was just an unknown, as it was described to me. No one knew what rate to lend at today because of things you do in the future. So for various different reasons, too many lenders were happy just to coast along a little bit and just let it go. And of course, we're a broker. So if the lenders are hungry, we're hungry. If they're coasting along, you can't fight against it. I've been around too long to know you can't butt heads. And I would say it wasn't until Q4 of last year that the market in second charges fully recovered, or started to really recover.
Yep.
With February this year, lending has reached 135 million, led in no small part by Pepper, who published figures of 52 and 50 million in February and March.
So it's been certainly a good start to the year for us.
Yeah, definitely.
And that, like you say, we've made a thing of that. It's in the public domain, so we're really pleased with that. But if you think about it, I don't know if you're aware, but at Pepper we publish our annual specialist lending study. And it pulls out some really, really pertinent facts that I think are nothing but a good and a boost to the second charge market. So one of those facts that we talk about is that we suggest now there's something as many as 15 million people in the UK that could be said to have some history of adverse credit. Doesn't mean they've got it today, but they've got some history of it. And if you think about what happened following the mini budget, mortgage rates went and all of a sudden you've got mainstream rates starting with a 6, specialist rates starting with a 9. So you've got people now with blips on the credit file, people wanting to borrow additional funds, screaming out for seconds, isn't it?
It won't surprise you that I might be about to contradict you a little bit, because I would say that that's actually part of the problem. Is people's mentality still that second charges are for customers with adverse credit? Because that is a very, I wrote in my note, a very 2004 look.
Yep.
The majority of second charges granted to people have a clean credit profile.
Yep.
And whilst products certainly do exist for all types of borrowers, all types of credit profiles, we need to move away from this notion that seconds are just for adverse credit. Look, absolutely, there is a different look on credit and income, and you know, I'm sure we're going to talk more about that. But second chances aren't for people with adverse borrowers. There is a list of reasons that I'd originally thought growing, but that changes. And what I mean by that is the most topical reason for a second charge as we sit here in 2024 is somebody who has a first mortgage that's on a great rate from 2 years ago.
Starting with a one, probably.
Absolutely. Yep. Starting with a one, and they've still got 3 years left on it, but they need to borrow money, whether that's consolidation, whether it's home improvements. And they don't want to remortgage because it's going to start with a four if they're lucky.
At best.
Yeah, absolutely. So a second charge allows them to raise money. Many second charge products now come with no early redemption penalties. They raise that money now. And then in 3 years' time, when they have to remortgage, maybe they'll look to clear the second charge.
And I suppose they've got that choice at that stage. Rather than then sort of tagging it onto a mortgage that might last for 30 years, they might say, you know what, we want to pay that off in seven.
Absolutely.
So it gives them flexibility and choice about having it over a much shorter payment period.
Absolutely. And they've enjoyed 3 more years at a rate starting with a one on the bulk of their lent borrowing.
Yep.
But there are lots of reasons. Borrowers with higher redemption penalties end up looking down the second charge route. Borrowers who have reached their maxed borrowing on their existing mortgage provider or in the mortgage market just says no because they've borrowed the most they can. And it's just not good advice to switch. Second charge lenders calculate income in a different way from mainstream first lenders. So just because a remortgage is no doesn't mean a second charge won't be available. The second charge market is getting bigger. The service is first rate. Turnarounds have never been quicker. Rates are falling. Competition is the most I've seen it in, I would say, 8-9 years.
And that's really healthy.
Oh, it's a game changer.
It's really healthy.
Absolute game changer. And the impact of that is the headline rate of a first and the headline rate of a second, I don't think have ever been closer. You know, if you say the best rate on a first at the moment is around 4.5,
yeah.
I'm sure someone will contradict me, but that's sort of what I've seen. The best rate on a second is 6.5. 2% difference. Bearing in mind the type of product, different risk,
The markets are clearly sort of coming closer together. I mean, you talk about borrowing rates. It's just a nightmare out at the moment, isn't it? I mean, when we started selling many, many moons ago, you were governed by the Bank of England base rate, and it changed every month, and that set the prices. I'm sure it was the same in seconds because people set it around that. But you've got swaps now that we were sort of govern the rates that we lend at. And things that are going on around the world, sadly, at the moment, can very quickly change your rate.
Yeah.
So we've just got to keep a watching eye on those rates. But it's great to hear that the rates are closer together than they've ever been. I mean, so I think in that sort of opening gambit there, I think I'm right in saying, check if I'm right, that the second market is in really good shape.
Oh, it's in brilliant shape.
So how is it going to develop further over the coming years? Months, years.
But we're seeing the process being improved and improved and improved and improved, and barriers that have been there for a long time being removed. Someone's actually starting to sit back at lenders and go, we don't need that. Or that's why, like almost asking, why are we even asking for that? And that is making the process and the speed of a loan so much quicker.
I'm sure we'll touch on that a little bit further because I think, you know, I know you where you're going with that because we've made some big changes and we'll touch on that in a second. So if it's all so good, rates are as cheap or as competitive as they've been for a long time, availability is good, competition strong, why aren't more brokers using seconds?
Mindset, Rob. Mindset, mindset, mindset. Second charge lending drives me nuts. It's constantly talked down. It's talked down in the press. It's talked down by second charge brokers. It's talked down by first mortgages. It's looked down upon. It's the poor second cousin of the mighty mortgage market. When you do a like for like comparison, it's not actually that far apart. And I mean a like for like. Now, I spent a lot of time yesterday researching this. So this is going to be a bit scripted, but hopefully it makes sense because this was my whole of my day yesterday, most of this morning. So the second charge market in 2023.
Get a cup of coffee, everybody, and listen to
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Brace yourself. The second charge lending market in 2023 finished at 1.4 billion. According to IMLA, the total mortgage borrowing in 2023 was 225.5 billion.
Yep.
A big difference. And we do get put side by side.
So you're the poor relation then, surely?
Absolutely. But that figure includes first-time buyers and movers. So they're surely not part of any comparison to a second charge, which is always, by its nature, raising additional funds. So let's remove them. So we're now at 82 billion lent in 2023 through remortgaging versus 1.4 million in second charges. But that includes product transfer and like-for-like mortgages. So I dug a little deeper. According to an article published by Confused.com senior editor Claire Finn in 2023, only 33% of remortgages included additional borrowing. So that figure is now 27 billion compared to 1.4 billion.
I can see where you're going.
But if you want to compare, you have to look at how much of that 27 billion was actually additional borrowing. So I dug a little further. The average mortgage last year granted was £189,000. That equates from that 27 billion to 144,525 borrowers raising funds in 2023 through a remortgage. But how much of that was actually additional borrowing? According to a report by the conveyancing provider LMS, this was published in Which, the average homeowner borrowed an additional £16,389 when refinancing their deal. So, £16,389 times 144,500 customers, you now have 2.36 billion in additional borrowing through remortgages in 2023 compared to 1.4 billion lent through second charges. Or 63% of additional borrowing in 2023 was done through remortgaging and 37% was done through second charges. Not actually that far apart.
I tell you what, if we'd have had another 10 minutes, mate, you'd have had seconds lending more than first.
I could, you know, I was trying. But it does show that we're compared to the headline of other products. And I talk, you know, I've got some more stuff on that, but I don't want to bore everybody that's listening. But you actually look at the part of the mortgage market that borrows more money, and it's not, it's, you know, what
not
was that, 63
apart.
Versus 37.
And I think what you're saying there is there is so much opportunity for brokers to use and to look at an underserved sector of the marketplace. Because I thought there was changes in regulation whereby if a customer came and sat in front of a broker, they have to consider a second as opposed to a remortgage. And I just don't think many brokers actually do that.
I appreciate this is a podcast, so people can't see the look on my face, but absolutely not. I don't think there's a lack of understanding in seconds. There's a lack of distribution, but there, you know, you still get brokers who say, I don't look at seconds. And they've got a reason, but they understand them. I think there often is reports saying people don't understand seconds. I think everyone understands them, but people are making a choice whether to use them, and you still hear various different things about too difficult or too expensive.
I mean, that's you've read my notes, because that's an absolute segue onto it, because that is one of the sort of pushbacks I hear in the market. Why don't you consider, say, oh, they're hard, they're so difficult to deal with, and you know what, they're expensive, look at all those fees. Is that the case? Is it hard? Is it expensive?
It is difficult. It is difficult, but only if you don't know what you're doing. There is
same as everything, really, then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a specialist form of lending. Exactly the same as specialist mortgages, exactly the same as bridging, exactly the same as buy-to-let. Hence, you have specialist second mortgage brokers like us. But hopefully, as the specialists, we make it look easy most of the time. The lenders don't do the work. The broker does. The lenders set out their criteria in full and they present that to brokers. We then present them with a fully packaged case with everything they need to be able to lend to that client. We collect and on most occasions pay for upfront accountants' references, valuations, consent, mortgage references, employers' references, all lender documents. And that's all before the lender has seen anything other than a credit profile, because you might have had to score it on their system. We actively solve problems. So it is difficult, but not if you know what you're doing. And as for is it expensive, compared to what? There is no other form of lending that does the same as a secured loan. And I will back that up, because of course people are going to say a remortgage. But a second charge is usually the best option when a remortgage isn't an option. Like, you know, I'd love to buy a Ferrari, but I can't afford one. So I don't look at my Volvo and go, it's just, you know, I should have got a Ferrari. You look at a second charge often when a remortgage isn't available or isn't best advice. Now, whether that's due to a large early redemption penalty, loss of an attractive existing rate, a drop in credit profile, as you mentioned, going into a different equity bracket in your lending, yep, or income multiples not supporting further borrowing, a second becomes the option when a remortgage isn't an option. So it is not a comparison. Personal loans. Nope, absolutely not. The average personal loan completes at around £10,000. Whereas the average second charge in 2023, as in statistical figures, was pretty much bang on 40,000. The average term of a second charge is around 12 years. Mm-hmm. The maximum term of a personal year loan is either 3 or 5. So how is that even a comparison? So it's all good saying it's expensive, but what are you comparing it to? There is nothing exactly the same as a second to compare it to. There's no other product on the market, but yet the second charge market is constantly compared to the headline rate or headline lending or some headline of almost every other product, despite not actually being not available. I'll go back, and we've said this before, but remortgage rates start at 4.5 and second charge rates start at 6.5. So that gap has never, ever been closer. And I've been doing this for 26 years. They've never been closer.
DebtCon.
Yes.
That to me seems like one of the bigger reasons to look at a second. Is that true? Because there's always maybe a little bit of a stigma in first charge world about turning sort of short-term debt into long-term debt. So maybe that's something that the second charge arena embraces and runs with.
It absolutely embraces. I think the stats are something like 70% of second charges that arrange have some form of debt consolidation. It's what the market has been built on. And the argument of whether it's good or bad advice, give the alternative. People go through... I did a loan recently for a family that have had 3 kids. Both worked. The 3 kids were now... The last one was still at university and the other 2 had gone off. And over that period of time, they had racked up debt.
Yep.
They had debt from just, costs of university of 3 kids. They bought a motor home at some point for cheap holidays. And they'd racked up debt. And now they wanted to pay it off. And they couldn't do a remortgage. There was various different reasons. A remortgage wasn't an option. And what they wanted to do was get back on even footing. So they took out a second charge and paid everything off. So they now have a mortgage and they have a second charge. And their monthly payment is now considered, because they were getting to the point where they couldn't afford juggling all of this different debt. It's a random figure, and you hear this all the time. They were saving £600 a month on paper, which means they could go back to living, saving, and they're not going to keep the second charge for the 20 years that they took it over. Husband had just started a new job. He'd had a significant pay rise. Lots of things. They're going to sell the motorhome. Apparently that was worth £35,000. But it's the right decision for them there and then. But when people say, oh, you shouldn't be doing it, well, what's the alternative? Is it an IVA and destroy your credit rating and write off debt? Where's the responsibility in doing that? If you borrow money, you should take responsibility for paying it back.
And £600 a month for that family was the right thing at that time.
Absolutely.
And the key thing is at that time.
And it was offered and advised on. It's not like we'd just pick it and throw it at them. They were given advice by someone with exactly the same qualification as a mortgage advisor.
Great opportunities there. I mean, you've said already, Matt, you've been in the market for way over 20 years. I mean, is the second charge market today the same as it was when you started out? Or are you now seeing innovation and advances in technology helping streamline the market and as you touched on earlier, significantly streamline and improve turnaround times?
So I don't feel arrogant by making a statement that I have pushed more than anyone else in those last 20 years for speed. I have hounded lenders about it for years and years and years. But the speed element has been based around common sense and a sense of urgency because technology hasn't been forthcoming.
Yep.
But for the first time, I feel like it is changing. As brokers, we're led by the capabilities of what our lenders will accept. And lenders are now tapping into the fintech ecosystem.
Wow.
I know, big words.
Turn it off and turn it back on again.
Absolutely. Yeah,
as well, good as it gets.
That is as good as it gets. But look, you've got things like dynamic pricing. First introduced by Optimum in 2015, who obviously now are Pepper, but is now used by multiple lenders. And it's also, I believe, going to be used by all 3 of the new entrants coming into the market later this year. This means...
So is that, sorry, for the uneducated, is that a little bit black boxy? You put the circumstance in and it throws out a rate.
That's exactly it.
So that's why sourcing won't work.
Well, sourcing won't work
for a number of reasons.
That would be a whole separate podcast.
Yeah.
But it means every customer is getting the best rate possible based on their circumstances, not being wedged into a box that is set up by a lender. And I've been a great fan of matrices for years because it's clear, but this is definitely the way forward. And I wouldn't be surprised if a year, 18 months from now, almost every lender in the seconds market is dynamically priced.
So product guide's gone. It's literally dynamic pricing.
Absolutely. Automated valuations.
Yep.
Now, we've been using these in seconds for over 20 years. We were using these in loans.co.uk, and I've been at Loans Warehouse for 18 years. You know, you take like the bridging market example, they only adopted them in 2020 because they had to as a result of the pandemic.
COVID, yeah.
ID and verification checks are now being used instead of security calls. And bearing in mind the second charge market, a borrower doesn't have to visit a solicitor as they would with a remortgage or a mortgage and stuff like that. So that has made things quicker. But whether it's Verify ID or Nevo, lenders are using better technology to complete the applications. Customers are doing this part of the process earlier in the process, which again is making things move quicker. Instead of lenders used to want to wait till everything was done and then do the security call, I fought against that for tooth and nail more than anyone for years. Do it earlier in the process, getting it done. And now it is, you know, packs get submitted, an ID check is sent out, and it's that app on your phone where you're holding your ID and you turn your head.
It's
and you're
me.
Noise. Yes, that's
type
exactly it.
Yep.
Direct links to HMRC are coming to verify income for self-employed borrowers. Offers being issued before consent is granted. Jesus, we've been pushing lenders on this for years. It's driven us nuts as brokers. We have people whose job solely is to chase mortgage lenders for consent. High street lenders almost always grant consent, and you know the ones that won't. There's literally a list.
And I think I'm right in saying we've just joined that, which we're delighted with.
You were the first to put it on paper.
Which we're delighted with. And I think you're right. I think we issue a list of people who we know will accept.
Yes.
So we know what's the risk. It's
absolutely
great.
So it means offers are going out earlier, and it's being done in the right way. And this is on its own. You know, sometimes you would wait 5 days for consent to come through when everything else is in.
5 more phone calls every day. Have you got it yet? Have you got it yet?
15 more phone calls. We don't call once a day. And the latest change, and actually we're only just seeing this and we really like it. And the latest change is this digital e-sign of the E6. Legal charge.
Yeah. Yep.
And again, and not because you're sitting here, generally Pepper have led that. Pepper and Equifinance are doing it, but it's been the biggest change in 2024 and it's knocking days off completion. And I'll put that into context. A second charge could be submitted to Pepper this morning.
Yep.
It would be worked within a couple of hours because it always is. Security calls would be completed. The binding offer would be issued. It would be e-signed by the customer and the witness, come through, do it straight away, goes directly back to Pepper and pays out the same day. Literally sending this offer the same day. We're talking about, we've done the work, however long that's taken us, and let's face it, brokers, we're not slow. We don't hang around. We submit a pack today and it could be paid out today. And that is all because of e-signs.
So from first conversation with the customer to payout with those technological improvements, what are you talking? 5 days?
I think our record is 2.
Brilliant.
Our average is probably 14 because you do need valuations and you've got to work to the pace of the customer. But, you know, we regularly complete deals that have applied within a week. And you do get noted that, you know, the lender will say, oh, you only scored this one on Monday and it's Friday and stuff like that. So there's only so much we can affect. We've always pushed for speed.
We're delighted. And again, it's not my area of expertise, which you regularly tell me.
No.
But again, it's great to watch the developments. And I think people have said we've seen more change in the second charge market in the last 6 months than we maybe saw in the last 6 years with these implementations. And again, social media is a great thing. I'm regularly seeing master brokers like yourselves putting notes out there saying, pack delivered today, paid out tomorrow. It's great. So long may it continue. And I think we're only just starting, to be fair. So for those brokers that may be listening to what you're talking about today, see the benefits of seconds, but are still a little bit concerned about dealing in this area of the market, what options are available to them?
I honestly don't think there should be any concerns. Yes, of course, brokers need to have confidence into the another broker that they're referring their clients to. So I understand that. And I often talk about gaining trust. We are very open and transparent about how we work. We offer regulated products. We advise, all our advice is given by qualified mortgage advisors, just like any other broker. Criteria-wise, if we want to do a quick crib sheet, you can borrow from £10,000 to £1 million on second charge at rates starting from 6.5. Over terms from 3 to 30 years, lending up to 100% of the equity in your property for almost any purpose or any legal purpose on both residential or buy-to-let properties. And most importantly, our income calculation and assessment of adverse is very different to the high street. So if you think because you can't help that we can't help, you would be wrong more than you're right.
So I think that that's a really good summary of the sort of solutions that are available. But if somebody still really doesn't want to get involved, is there handoff procedures where brokers can refer on to you and you can give the advice for them or take over ownership of the case and then remunerate them in due course?
Absolutely. So we're, I believe it's called an application-only broker. So we would need the broker to hand the customer over to us, but yep, we are borrowing them for a short period of time. And we always remember the priorities. So we're as a broker, we're control freaks. So we want to know everything that's happening and we want to be in control of it. So we understand the broker's going to want to do the same. So every step of our process, there is things built in to keep the advising broker in the loop.
Brilliant.
And at different stages, that whoever has ownership of that client at the time, whoever's working application, whoever's the point of contact, will also keep the broker up to date.
So they've not got that fear of losing a customer forever. As you say, borrowing them.
We borrow them.
And then you hand them back.
Yep.
And presumably if they come back to you for future advice in the future, for again for a seconds, they'll still be attached to that originating broker.
When a client calls us back for further funds and we realise it's from a broker originally, our next phone call is to that broker to say, just to let you know, we've had this application. And yes, they will be remunerated again for that introduction because it's still their introduction.
Customer
doesn't know Loans Warehouse, it knew ABC Mortgage Brokers.
So bringing things to a close a little, the market's certainly running at 100 miles an hour at the minute. How do you manage to switch off? Does Matt Tristram ever switch off?
Do you know what? I talked about this quite a lot. I know it's 2024 and we've all got to talk about work-life balance, and I actually think I've got a really good work-life balance at the moment. But do I absolutely switch off? No. In the world we live in, there's too much access, you know, whether it is a lender or staff or a product, you never completely switch off. But I do switch off and I run. Very strange to many people. You know, I would say that I am absolutely converted. And the best way to switch off and clear your head is to go for a run. And I know I'm not the first to market with this, but it definitely works. And if my run's done, there is nothing better than sitting down in an evening watching an episode of Ted Lasso and a glass of good red wine.
Fantastic.
And if you haven't watched Ted Lasso, if the one thing you take away from this podcast is me saying, it is the best TV show ever created. I think I've watched it 6 times, start to finish. It's like soothing.
I have watched it. So do you have the ear pods in when you're running?
Yes.
What do you listen to?
When I'm running, music. When I'm doing weights, podcasts.
There you go, the specialist. Whole back catalogue on Spotify today.
I have indeed listened.
Brilliant. Matt, how do people find out maybe more about Loans Warehouse and about the services you offer?
So I am a big advocate of LinkedIn. Obviously, we have a website, loanswarehouse.co.uk. I'm not going to give a number out on here. LinkedIn, we use it all the time. I've used LinkedIn for over 15 years, but I use it just for work.
And badgering me for the last 12.
Well,
it's paid off.
So I'm sitting here with you. We do. We use it to show what we've done, what we can do, what we've achieved. It's the best place to find us.
Brilliant. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today. And I mean it when I say I've learned so much in this last half an hour. It's great to hear the second charge market is in rude health, presenting so many solutions to the many challenges people are facing today. To me, the message is clear. Don't be afraid of second charges. They're as simple to write as the first charge mortgages you write day in and day out. The key, though, is to work closely with one of the many specialists in that field. There are so many quality master brokers out there who can help you simply write more business and solve more of your customers' complex requirements. Also great to see that the second charge world is evolving with so many developments, both process and technology driven, that are helping streamline the sector, improving service and cutting turnaround times. Matt, you were so very right to keep on at me to talk about seconds on the Specialist Podcast. I'm really pleased that we have, and I promise to continue using my platform to promote this wonderful, if somewhat underserved, sector of the market. Thanks again, Matt. It's been great fun.
Thank you very much, sir.